we did an introduction to the call. We're talking about equip for the work of ministry. And we've come a very long way. We talk about the context of the call. And that context really defines us powerfully. Because if we understand the context in which you have been called, and again, let me say, whether you are called into business, whether you are called into, let me say, whether you are called into the world of commerce, whether you are called into the world of trading, whether you are called into the world of preaching, whether you are called as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, whether you are called into certain areas or specialized skills like engineering, law, finance, construction, all of those dynamics put together, whether you are a pilot, you want to understand that it is a call of God upon your life. It did not just arrive at you. Like somebody told me, he said, as for you, the call of God just met you on the way. No, if I am called like that, and I have no power, I have no strength, I have no capacity, I will have no wisdom to be able to communicate the things that I may, to even conceive the idea, to even come into revelation, it will not be available to me, because the call is accompanied with a certain grace that allows ordinary men to be able to have access to the mind of God, to have access to God's thinking, God's philosophy, what is God's passion. The call allows ordinary men to come closer to God. The Bible tells us of he whom the Lord has favored and has blessed. It is that he allows him to step into his court, to draw closer to him. So the call indeed allows us to step into greater capacity in God, greater dimensions in God, greater understanding in the things of God that ordinarily our minds will not conceive. Even our degrees, the best of degrees and masters will not appreciate. In Psalm 65, the verse 4, it says, blessed is the man you choose. Blessed is the man you choose. The issue here is that the call is divine choice. Divine choice is not democracy. Divine choice is not subjected to the approval of the masses. Neither is it subjected to the approval of the minor group of people. Divine choice is God's choice. Divine choice is God's definite conception of what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, by whom, with whom, and through whom he wants to do it, at whatever time he wants to do it, without permission from anybody. Divine choice, the call, proceeds out of God's sovereignty. That God is God. He does not need to sit with man or woman to negotiate whether you and I should be used or should be given certain special abilities or skills. If the call of God just met me on the way, then I am one of the most miserable persons who ever live on the earth. I will be a miserable person trying to do what I am doing, because there is no any divine sanctioning to it. Because there will not be any dropping of God's seed. I am literally pregnant, but I am pregnant by myself. I have no husband. I am just prostituting myself. But if indeed the call is divine choice, blessed is the man you choose. The man that is chosen by God is already blessed. He does not need a car to be blessed to start with. He lives in blessing. He flows in blessing. His capacities are blessed. His resource is blessed. His mind is blessed. That word blessed is power to succeed. He is already in a default capacity to succeed. Everything he touches will be fruitful, because blessed is the man you. You there, you can see, is in capital Y. Capital Y. And it is talking about a person, and it's not just any person, but God, who is God all by himself. Blessed is the man that you choose and cause to approach you and cause to draw near to you and cause to become proximate to you. Blessed is that man of God's choice. So last week, let me finish reading. It says that he may dwell in your court. The man that is chosen is allowed to draw near, and that he may dwell in the courts of the Lord. We shall be satisfied with goodness, with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Hey, inside the call shall be the sustenance and the provisions required that will make that man to succeed and to be well sustained. It says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and of your holy temple. And that I know that if it is divine choice that is allowing me into this place, I will prosper in this matter regardless of the valley of Baca. I know that if it is divine choice that is leading you into that thing that you are in, you can be rest assured that the thing will sustain you. I mean, will satisfy you. What is the word satisfy there? It means that you have lived and fulfilled your call. The definition of success, was it? Okay, I was teaching someone, I was talking about relevance. You will feel relevant because you have succeeded in God's idea and mind, not the definition of men. Not what the people are saying, not what is trending. Not what is the in thing, not what is prevailing and is pervaded and it is believed in and is defined as the call and expression of your ministry. Whatever environment you find yourself in, you will prosper and be successful because the Lord will put a blessing upon you. The call is God's choice. The call is God's choice. So last week we said that it is a clear indication from God's elevated dominion. And we try to put a finger on what is God's elevated dominion. We labeled a number of things as referring to God's elevated dominion. That for a man to be chosen, an individual to be chosen and utilized for a task, an office, or a function within the kingdom. God's elevated dominion. Nobody can contest against God's elevated dominion. The Bible says, who can stand against the Lord? No one can. It says, who can bring a case against God's elect? Who can bring? So the issue of the call is divine election. Divine choice is a serious matter. My God. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Numbers. The leaders of the tribe began to complain against Aaron, Moses. Why is it that it's only your family people? Why is it that it's only you who is blessed? Why? Look, this understanding is so satisfying, knowing you would know that your family demons can no longer fight you. This understanding is so satisfying that you will know a people cannot raise a hill against you. Be careful. Be careful. This is so satisfying that you will know that when people bring a fight against you, they will lose. This is so satisfying to know that you don't pick a fight against God's elect. It's littered and patterned through scripture. I can't quite remember the chapter exactly and the verses, but in the book of Numbers, they complain. And the Lord said to Moses, let each of them bring a rod of a plant. I can't remember. Is it almond? A staff. They should bring all their staff. And you know what the staff represent? Leadership. Hey, we are all leaders. We are all called. Hey, me too, I'm called. Me too, I can do what you can do. And everybody is blabbing and yapping. All I can do, yeah, is it prophesy? I can prophesy too. We can all prophesy. You see how people destroy churches? Oh, but he think him alone can prophesy, him alone can teach. Is it him alone who can play the drum, who can play the keyboard? Me too, I can play. They say, okay, all of you submit your call. Let's test this call inside the presence of God. We are all engineers and so on. And you think you're the only engineer in town. You think you're the only lawyer. Let's submit all our law. Let's bring it to test inside the presence and the grace of God. Let's bring it to the fire of evaluation. Divine choice is a serious matter. And they will always submit. The next day or so, somebody's rod budded. It was almonds. Is it figs or almond? One of them. Somebody's rod budded and then bore fruits. One day, my God, inside the call is capacity for fruitfulness. It lives inside the call. May the Lord help us anywhere we are missing. I think one of the prayers we're going to pray is that God help us anywhere we are missing it inside the call. Even if we have missed the call, return us to what exactly. And if we are inside the call, we have missed certain things in the call. Lord, return us. Because the satisfaction, the thing called success, is in the call. And the satisfaction of even the material and the physical things that come, the call provides it. The call provides it. The call provides it. If you do not give up on your call, the call provides it. You will see men troop to you. You will see people troop to you and bring you the help that you require. You will see it happen. It says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. The call is a sacred, holy, set apart, given to. And there is nothing that can be done about it. So it's a clear indication, no ambiguity, no confusion inside the mind of God. We need to get that recording of it. With that recording last week, we need to get it. I want it out. I want that recording out. So you need to put all the things to it. Let's have it go out. And we said something last week that the call is consistent. God has not missed it. So we want prophets, apostles, evangelists, engineers, lawyers, etc., who will die for the cause of the Lord. We want people dying for the cause of the Lord. You pick up a Muslim, they die for their cause. They will push, pay the price. So let's continue the call. The call is a summons that override our personal references. If somebody says he is called, then it is a summon. And these summons override your personal preferences, your personal family obligations sometimes. And the call itself becomes the internal driver for one's life. It so consumes your life and directs you and drives you. Nothing matters than the components and all that there is about the call. The call, it is God's design being heralded or cried out so that a gift might be developed and released to humanity, to the body of Christ, to the church. It is God's clarion cry, so that he can release a certain unique gift or capacity into the earth. And so if you do not begin to see yourself and the thing that you do as so unique and as a gift to humanity, come on. Let me tell you, everybody can be doing the trading you are doing. Everybody can be doing the business you are into. Everybody can be doing this preaching that I am preaching. But for me, the revelation of God arrives at me in a manner and is so unique that it is not compared to any other. And to that other brother, the revelation and the dealings of God and the counters of God arrive so perfectly, so unique that I cannot try to mimic it. I cannot try to make it up. There is a unique ability with me that nobody can have. It is a clear summons of God that overrides our personal preferences. It's a clear design being heralded by God that a gift must be released to humanity and to the body of Christ. In the call, the call is the path from being singular. You know, people like to be me, I. And by the call, God gives you as a gift to humanity, and you come into corporate life, corporate existence. Your life becomes shared. You now belong to the masses and the people. You are now giving to the people and not to yourself. And that gift is not just your gift for your satisfaction, but Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says that the grace of God that is given to me for you, God gives you to humanity. He gives you to his cause. He gives you to his purpose, the call. If not, we become selfish and angry because somebody did not. You know, sometimes the way people treat this gift. Because I've seen people. Yesterday I was ministering online. And when it got to 10 o'clock, somebody just really said, Oh, so soon. The time has ended. As I was ministering, there's somebody who has had an encounter with me before. And by the grace of God, God broke this gentleman through powerfully, financially. When we were down there, he started doing very well. Very, very well. And as I was ministering, I heard the Lord speaking into my heart that he's going to restore the guy. He has lost everything. He has to even relocate out of the country at this time as we speak. He didn't know how to keep relationship either. But me, I am giving us a gift. I cannot walk in hate and bitterness. I'll be destroying myself. I'll be polluting. Dead flies will always be found in the oil. My oil will stink. One, there's a dead fly in it. I think the second thing is that God purify us if there are any dead flies inside our oil. And I'm going to find a way of talking to him and telling him how God is going to restore him. And tell him from point A, point 2, point A, point B, point C, as the Lord has made me perceive down the road, what are the events that will happen in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, in the next 1 year, that you begin to be turned around and begin to resolve all his financial crisis that he is in, and begin to pay all his debt. And I'm going to begin to speak those things to him. It is a gift given to humanity. I was minding my business and God was talking to me. Who am I to say that I am angry? God, you see how, like Jonah. Jonah and God, who is the problem? Was it God who is the problem, or Jonah or Nineveh? Was it Nineveh that was a problem? Oh, these people of Nineveh, God, you see the way they kept fighting Israel. They are the enemy, and you are telling me I should go and preach to them. The call. It overrides your personal preferences, your anger, your temper, your happiness, your unhappiness. It overrides it all. It's a clear summons. It's an arrest. Paul says in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Let's read it. It's a clear summons. It's a clear summons. It moves you away from being singular into corporate life. It is a path from singularity into corporate life. Look at what Paul said. When you have a call, you have been arrested. Can I say that again? Oh, I am called by God. It's not a fashion parade. It is prison house. And we are truly free when we have yielded to being arrested by God. The people who are truly free are the ones who have sold their right over. I am arrested. I am given. That man is truly free. But the one who is holding on to his right, you are not a free man. Those who are truly free in God are those who are in the prison of the Holy Ghost. Inside the prison of the Holy Ghost is the liberty that it grants for the fulfillment of a joyful life and ministry. As for me, as for me, as for me, as for you, what? You are not a free woman. And I'm angry. And I don't like the church. And as for me, as for me, you are in prison. That is why the enemy, the demons of depression, the demons of confusion are always battling you and striking you left, right, center. That is why bitterness and you have become a whole house of a harbinger of devils. How can you tell me that person is free? But the one who is sold to the freedom of God is full of joy. He shall be satisfied with the goodness of his house, even the produce from his holy temple. The call is a clear summons. So if we have people who said they are serving in the ministry, you must understand what you are doing. Are you called to do, or you just feel like? The call is not like I feel like. The call is a commitment to a summon. I am committed to a summon. I cannot, my passport has been seized. I can only travel when I am given my passport. And even on top of that, I have an entourage following me to ensure that I do not escape. It's a clear summons and being arrested to the mind and the purpose of God for life. Do you see that inside the call? I cannot be selfish. Do you see inside the call? I cannot give excuses. Oh, I couldn't play the keyboard today, and today my back is too, and I am not too happy, and so I cannot play. I cannot be in church. Do you know what you are talking about? You don't understand the call of God upon you. You don't know why you are doing what you are doing. I've said this before. I said many people do not know why they attend church services, in quote, church. They don't know. They don't know why they belong to the family. If you understand your place, that I am so uniquely placed inside that space. And when you take me and you put another there, it doesn't fit. Square pegs in round holes. It will not fit. I am the only person who can step in and do it well. I will give my life to do it. Today, you cannot find people who will not commit to serve. You have to pay them before they play instrument. You have to pay people before they play instrument. Give them money. Motivate them. And I saw somebody wrote, they said, but the pastor, I have been preaching for the past how many years? I don't ask anybody for payment. I preach. If I don't have money on me, I come to preach like I am preaching to 1,001,000,000,000 people. If I have money, I'm still preaching. If I would preach and go away, if I don't even have food in the house. I remember moments that we will finish services and we are going home and we literally have nothing in the house to eat. I didn't come back and ask him and say, come on, pay me a church. You need to organize every month. You have to be giving me this. No, I am summoned to this, and the call must satisfy me. The call must bring me abundance from wherever it is. As I fulfill the call, the Lord will step in. Abraham said to his son, he said, my son, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. And the two of them continued into the court, because God says, go and sacrifice Isaac. Until we understand, we cannot have a company that really conquers. Until we understand, we cannot have a church that whose voice threatens the enemy. Until we understand the nature of our call, we cannot have a company, an ecclesia in the end. When it is time for that ecclesia to come into a corporate gathering, the enemy will be threatened. Until we understand, for many of our meetings have just become a mere routine and has become no expression of light, and we are not a threat to the world of darkness. And the enemy continue to say, let them continue with their rounds of no impact meetings and services. Until we understand the call, not a bunch of selfish people, I'm just going to pluck the fruit. You know what we do to the mango tree? We do to the that abrafunkati, I don't know how they call it in English. We just go, we throw stones at it, we throw sticks, and once we get a couple of them, miracles, breakthroughs, oh, I am gone until the next problem. And then I am coming back, I am hungry. I look at the mango tree, I say, this tree, in fact, this fruit is not even ripe. But anyway, I am hungry. I am going to eat it. And then we torment the gift of God. And may not be frustrated in their call. May the Lord our God intervene. Amen. Until we have a people of understanding, we will have a bunch of people. You are just give me. I. The call of God overrides all of that. When we understand this thing, miracles oozes out in our meetings, because I am sitting inside my capacity and God is acting out of his capacity inside the call that he has given me. And he knows that that brother needs to receive that leg healed, and that brother has been crying and praying to God, but at the same time he is sitting in his capacity going through his valley of baca and pursuing, and God said, let there be a touch, and there is
fire.
So we would spend 8 hours praying for a miracle. When this miracle, listen, forgiveness, faith moves God, right? And the Bible says faith. Faith moves God, but forgiveness set his power on rampage. When we let go, we see God in action.
Amen.
We can struggle and say, my faith, I'm believing God, I'm standing. But one moment of action of forgiveness suddenly begins to open a door for you. I remember a video we watched some many, many years ago, and I think it was on Sid Rod. There was one young man, I think either in Kenya or Malawi or somewhere. He got attacked, a believer, he got attacked. And they beat him up, machetes and all, and he had lacerations and wounds all over his head, and his faith was swollen and all of that. And the church had gathered 2 days praying for this gentleman, and he was in coma, and they kept praying, and the church said, as for them as a church, they were not going to hold it against the people who did that to him. He wasn't a thief, but somebody shouted thief, and that was the end of the story. So this guy is lying in the hospital. When he opened his eyes, and then they asked him, what do you think? The police said, we have arrested the people who attacked you. He said, please forgive them. Within the next few days, if not hours or days, all the wounds healed completely. And there was not a single mark. It was on Sid Rod. Forgiveness sets the power of God on rampage. Doing unique, unthinkable things, unbelievable things that by your faith you hang on, and you are trying to prove a point, and you are trying to prove, I'm a man of perfect faith, I'm a man of great faith, and I am trying. Oh, I've moved from little faith, now I am. Listen, let's step within the call for our lives. Listen to what Paul said. When people are arrested, it changes the way they live. We have too much freedom beyond our call. Inside the call, we have real freedom. A people who are truly free are a people who are sold out to the call. If you think you are free, check whether you are within the call. We went for evangelism, and one guy was telling Albert, Albert and I, I am a Presbyterian. We are talking about Christ. You say you are a Presbyterian. We are talking about Christ. You are so boastful, you are a Presbyterian. And you can see alcohol in him. I'm standing and I can see alcohol in the guy. He's not booze. But I can see the alcohol in him. I can see the alcohol in him. I can see the mood. It's so arrogant. And I am a Presbyterian, you know. If you're a Presbyterian, you want to listen to what about Christ? Nobody. It's as if you are forcing Christ down his throat. He's not a free man. That man is in bondage. Any face of Christ, he feels threatened. He feels his liberty is about to be taken from him. So he's fighting back. May the Lord arrest them all. Look at what Paul said. Philippians chapter 3. Turn it down, down, down. You can play, but you're not doing the... Paul said, let's read from the verse 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, these I counted. No time to get into all of this, huh? But maybe next week I can pick these verses alone and teach it throughout the service. But let me just read it and listen. It said, all these things I have counted loss for Christ. The word counted, note that word. It's like accountant. It's like doing finance evaluation, mass. Addition, subtraction, okay. Oh, so it's profitable, okay. If I go my own way, I'm losing. This particular direction of making this investment is all losses in Kwan. This one of, I have counted, I've evaluated all things I consider gain. Do you understand what is happening? And he's evaluating the call of God for his life. All. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Where is the real freedom? And somebody says, I'm called. Where is the real freedom? Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. It has to be some giving off and receiving. If we talk about the call, people should stop joking around. When somebody says, I'm committed to a tax in the community, that person indeed must commit himself or herself to it. It must not be game. Who should be chasing you? Are you still a baby in Christ? When did you get born again? I remember many years ago, because I know I had a commitment to lead worship, and I led worship for over 10 years, about 12 years in a church, that every Sunday, except when I had appointments to travel to go and preach. And I wasn't in Ghana, or I'm in Ghana, but I have an appointment. But once I am in, I'm behind the microphone. I am leading worship and praise. It is my personal responsibility. I am spending days and nights listening to songs and preparing myself, readying myself for Sunday. As soon as the Sunday meeting ends, my preparation for the Wednesday meeting have begun. As the Wednesday meeting is on, my preparation for next Sunday is on. Saturday night from about 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. I am on the park, Mandorobo Shakapa, Ayapandara, alone, crying to God that let the drama be aligned. Let us all be in unison with heaven. Let this worship indeed deliver heaven among the people. And when I lift my hands to lead, there is an eruption among the people as we touch heaven. My personal responsibility, because I understood what I'm. I can't just walk Sunday morning and I say, what's the song? Let me just put 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the watch. And then the keyboard is on. Let me check. And then we have all not organized. So sometimes we organize things not because we want to be political or want organization to run. We want the church to run in a certain way. We understand that our commitment and our discipline is required as evaluating the many gain that we have. There are many things we could pursue within a week, chasing here and there, but I must make that 1 hour, that 2 hours. Look, I used to lecture in a Bible school, in a school of ministry. And one of the requirements for lecturing in that school of ministry was that you should prepare a minimum 48 hours for the class. That is, all your notes are ready. On top of your notes are ready long ago. You need 48 hours minimum praying, reviewing the notes, putting thoughts together inside that note to go and lecture. Yeah, I have notes together, so I can go. Oh, is it not, this thing, I've taught it 100 years. 48 hours minimum. I practice this thing. I know how to sing. 48 hours minimum. I know how to play this keyboard. Rehearsals, 2 hours. Sunday after church, rehearsals Saturday evening, rehearsals Friday evening. We need to do this so that we can enhance our capacity. The Bible says David, he called from following the ewes in the bush, in the desert. And he, David, shepherded Israel with the skillfulness of his hands and the integrity of his heart. Where is that in the call? Two things. Skillfulness of his hands and the integrity of his heart. Where is the integrity bit we're dealing with? No commitment to the call. No giving to the call. Even when I was leading worship and I traveled, went to work 2 years, 3 years, when I land in service, you ask where you will find me. Thou, Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. You will find me leading. Even when I arrive, if I arrive Friday, Saturday evening, I am in quiet rehearsals. I understand my space. But today you have to beg people to. It's my gift. I don't like the way you rebuke me. Why did you do this? Why did you block this? Why did you do? What do you mean? What are you talking about? We went through discipline where even one of my friends visited us in one of our services. He was punished and was asked to fast for 100 days for some blunder he committed. Me, because I am his friend and I knew about what he did, and I was the one trying to correct the thing, but they mixed me inside. They said, for the next 1 year, until the church decides to leave the band, I will not lead worship again. And I said, then I will not lead anything at all. They said, no, you are not on your own, the call. They said, you can back, but you will not be the lead singer. Hey. Number two, you have every responsibility to reject and to turn down every appointment that comes to you inside this process of discipline. So the little opportunities me too, I will get show offs more, they kill them too. Today, tell somebody, sit down. Don't play. Don't preach. For the next 1 year, you're not going to preach anything. Don't do anything. They get angry. Or some person who was in our meeting who got the fiancée pregnant, and I told him, I said, you will not lead anything. I want you to sit down. You and I, we're going to have some very good conversation. Plus your fiancée, we'll see how we can help you. The next thing is anger and flight out of church. And began to recruit people outside the church against me. You think you did it to me? I am inside my call. You are in another call, which is not God's call. So you see, we miss it all. Some people have to be serious with this thing. It's not because we want a big church and so. No. No. The discipline is required for the fulfillment of the call. Bible says, he that breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite. If there is no order, what happens? We are all in chaos. I said, no, you know, dude, he got angry. Literally angry. Literally angry. I'm like, what did I do wrong? To help you, stabilize you, to help you so we don't pollute the work together, to help you so that you can become more and more a better person, as I also strive to be a better person in Christ, because I am not perfect anyway. Anger. The next thing is recruitment. Against the church. I'm like, what is happening? Today people are not disciplined. They can't take rebuke. Look, I remember. The time is up. This thing, I said I can take this thing for the next 5 years. Because this is our life. This is our life. Sometimes I recall I'm about to lead worship and I'm quoting scripture and talking to the people. My senior elder is down there. He's hearing the sound. He sends somebody to come and tell me. And this is it. So go and tell Magda you should stop that thing he's doing there and start leading worship. And you know, the first thing that comes to you is anger. And I learned the first instant that thing happened. Once you become angry, you realize that everything flops. So subsequently, when the message comes, go and tell man to stop that thing he's doing there. Very derogatory. And lead the worship. When they say, I said, thank you. Thank you. We are one voice, and we've made a choice to give him glory with a song. And we will sing, and everybody, and we are in God. My rebuke is not stuck on my shoulder. Today, we have a generation that cannot take discipline. We are a lossless bunch in the name of a call. Listen, Paul is trying to end my meeting. I'll end it somewhere. I'll read this scripture and end it there. Because the next one, when I jump into it, Wahala Day. I think there's a song like that. Wahala Day. I love you, Lord. I love you more than anything. I love you. You are the only one. I love you, Lord. I give you all my praise. Today you discipline somebody. He says, I've left the community. There are many churches around. Why did you go to that first one? We have become a consumerism generation. Me, I, and all we are seeking is to consume. I call it the I, me church. And when we are I, me church, we see no glory of God. Everything is about us. Not for the person. How many times will we go before God and we ask God, God, what is on your mind? What do you want me to become and be useful for? God, it's me. Hey, God, you know this. Hey, God, all of that. Hey, God, you know I have. My life is already set. You know, come inside and follow. God, I have it all together. I've defined the call. I know that I have to. So, God, come inside and follow. Come inside and follow. Follow. And you can lower it. Don't be going up too much. I can hear this. It's sweet. Come up small. Yeah, I can hear it. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Look, this scripture, I will come back and teach it. Dealing with the call that is overriding your preferences, your personal desires, your personal direction. That's for me. That's for me. I don't like people, you know. I don't like people. So, Pastor, that thing you are giving me, I cannot do. You don't like people. Meanwhile, you know God I've called you. Is it papers you are going to like? As for me, if they do that thing to me, the way I will breathe fire, thunder, and brimstone on them. As for me, my heart is not good. God still loves you. Your heart is not good. And these people, they're young, they're selfish people. They don't know how to talk. And you know, one of my sons back then, today, he has about 500 or 1,000 or 1 million people or something following him on TikTok. In school, he came to me, and this leader is not this and this one. I picked a book and gave to him, Learning to Lead. Go and read this one. He came back thanking me. Thank you. He said, this one is difficult to work with. This one, I said, I just took a book. I don't know who took that book from my library. Beautiful book. Great teaching material, Learning to Lead. Yellow cover. I've looked for it everywhere. I'm not finding it. It's written by some Chinese or Asian guy. Learning to Lead. He complained. I said, take this book, go and read. You have solved your problems. He came back thanking me. He mentioned specific persons who were not able to work with him. And you complain. Oh, the leaders, you cannot work with anybody inside your call. Is it in a corporate world where there is more dariga you can work in? Hey. Paul said, I count it lost to gain Christ, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness preferences. My own righteousness. But what? Which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him. 32 years of running around. The guy comes to a point and says, that I may know him. What a humility. What a giving up of personal preferences and solid knowledge mindset. 32 years. He can abandon it and step into a new one. 32 years of being a rabid Pharisee, chasing people, left, right, center, killing people, stoning people. Even Stephen cry, oh, we are crying. No? Stephen stone cry, they put it at his feet. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conform to his death. 11. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. 12. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Do you understand? They say lay hold of somebody. If the police lay hold of you, Christ Jesus arrested the man, Acts chapter 9. He arrested him. He said, me too, now that I am arrested, the only way I can be a free man is to be in the chase for that which I was arrested for. Tell me who is free. Is it a guy who has bottles around him and every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday he's in a nightclub? Is him who is free? Some people make a useless boast and their life is just short. Who is free is the man who is in chase for that which he has been apprehended, arrested for. The call is a clear summon. The court have ordered you to come. In 14 days, if you don't show up, the gods of the land will. That one is not a summon. No. Come on, do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand the nature of the call? The summons are genocide. I said, in 14 days, you must come and beg. And the guy didn't show up. The guy is still walking around. You should. You should not don't joke with divine choice. So that one, no, do you now understand the distinction I'm making? 14 days come, the guy will not go. On top of that, he is making a boast in his God. You think ordinary man can go and stand and do that? That is what we call a summon. There is proper summon and useless summons. Even when you read, you see, people should read Bible there. When you read Job chapter 5, it says that the beasts of the field will be in league with you. You are my partner. The beast of the field says, you are my partner. What does the Bible describe as the beast? The lion, Satan is like a roaring lion. The beast of the field is speaking of satanic powers and demonic powers and even human beings that may be wicked and filled with wickedness. And the beast of the field, even the most successful, you can call him beast of that particular field, industry, say, we'll come and join you. The call. He said he will deliver you in 6 troubles. In 7, no harm will touch you. The call. The call. So he said you were summoned in 14 days. Oh, come on. This guy got summoned in eternity long ago. What are you talking about? Do you remember the teaching? The call is older than the devil. I said it here some weeks ago. Your call is older than the devil. You is sitting here, the thing you carry is aged than the devil, who has called us with a holy calling, separated call. Not according to our works, but according to his own grace. 2 Timothy chapter, is it chapter 1, verse 7, or is it verse 9? According to his own grace, which he called us with in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the earth, the call is as age like God. Albert, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? Who can stand against you? What can make a decree? If my call is older than that thing, and say, I am summoned, when we didn't know, they can succeed. But when we know what is in the element of our call, so people should behave. People should stand properly. People should reposition themselves. You know, there's a song by Phil Driscoll. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, that you may know where we stand. For he has erased our transgression and called us, made us his own, his very own. We are the people of God. Call by his name. You can't joke. Hear us, O spirits of darkness. Know where we stand. So people have to be serious. If you know what you are supposed to be contributing in this place, you give yourself to it. I don't have to come follow you, chase you, beg you, lie on the floor, raise one leg and kick. And so I am activating. Now you can come. Pastor didn't apologize to me. And this Mark is arrogant. Shut up. Do you know what you are up to?
Thank you.
People want to be serious. But my God, Bible says in the day of his power, your people will be willing. When we learn to do this well, me, I have told you, me, I have said it, me, I have taught, I have declared these things in the mind of God. I have spoken these things so that you will come into your empowerment and your effectiveness in delivering your call inside the context in which he has placed you. I can't stand it when I have to now organize people in a certain way. When such a person should know, then unless the person will teach you, unless the person does not know, who will teach. Listen to what Paul says. Let's close this. Listen to what Paul says. It is not that I have already attained. Look at the mindset inside the guy. Or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward towards the things which are ahead. I forget those things that are behind. I forget the pain, the past, the failure of yesterday, the rebuke of yesterday. And I reach out to that which is before. I forget the successes of yesterday. If not, the enemy will make it enter into my head and I will become lightheaded and stumbling feet. You know, when your head is feeling a bit light, what happens? You realize that sometimes you are walking, you are actually on the ground. You are on the ground, but you are lightheaded, stumbling feet. It can be a nice song. Never be a light-headed person. Oh my God. Light-headed stumbling feet. If I allow the successes of yesterday, it enters into my head. I am light-headed and I'm stumbling feet. Paul says, I forget about that which is behind. I forget about the past. I forget about the pain of the past. If not, the enemy will lock me in the past. So many people get offended over nothing when I am supposed to be focused on my sermon. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call. For the prize of the upward call. God did not call us to go down. I come into these things much later. I come into this scripture, evaluate the content of this scripture within the context of our call and the pursuit. Paul is literally saying, hey, my future, I'm pursuing you, I'm persecuting you, I'm chasing after you. We cannot treat the call of God lightly anymore. There has to be some level of seriousness, some investment, some time, some level of praying, some level of commitment, some level of discipline, some level of relationship building, because you know that that relationship will lead to the fulfillment of the call. I cannot have my emotions become more superior than the sermon. My preferences become so occupied and consumed by my own preferences. No, I must allow the call to run. Please rise up. I am done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.